surprise we went back to our old ways. You're the pretty girl in church on a Sunday, and I'm praying to God that I won't stay hungover till Monday. I spent the day binging old shows, keeping my mind off why you're not mine. Your weak plan got your head on the pillow, and I got my hand on the bottle. You always did catch on quicker, and now that I ain't in the picture.
You just heard a snippet of the latest single, Good For You, by Alberta's hot country duo, Fleischer. Rooted in the influence of their farmland upbringing, Fleischer, born and raised Albertans, take their identifiable grit and edgy tones to a whole new level with their brand new single, Good For You. This edgy song speaks to the stubborn side in us all, coming to terms with missing an ex, but refusing to change who we are to go chase after them. Fleischer is a Country Music Alberta Award-nominated Canadian country duo, and they reached top 12 finalists in the Alberta Music's 2021 and 2022 Project Wild competition. It's pretty outstanding. Such a great competition that one is. They have grit in their blood harmonies and unvarnished truths in their lyrics. They are ones to watch. Here to talk about their brand new single and video is Canadian country duo Fleischer, brothers Ryan and Brad. Hi there.
Hi, Kim. How are you?
Good. How about you?
Feeling pretty good here.
It is so great to finally have you on the show. I've been watching you guys from the very beginning of your career.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Great to hear.
You guys, I've got something special, really something special. And I am so happy for you with everything that you guys have accomplished so far. It's pretty cool what you guys have been doing.
Yeah, we're pretty excited. And things just keep on kind of, you know, slow and steady. Things are looking up, and we're just extremely grateful to be on the journey and stoked that there's so many people that are hanging out with us as we continue on.
Mm.
It's been fun.
It must have been great, though, to be able to get out there this year, especially after COVID, and not being able to perform as much. I know you guys had, you guys were really focusing on the writing end of it, you know, during that time, too. But you got to play quite a few this year. So what was that like for you guys to be able to get out there and play live?
As you mentioned, it's been a very busy year for us, for a lot of artists, you know, coming through that COVID time, but it's been great, honestly. And like you say, right, we did a lot of writing through that time, so it's been great to actually hit the stage with the songs that we've been creating over that spell. So yeah, mm-hmm. No, it's been a lot of fun, and yeah, we're looking forward to building it even more in 2023 here.
Did you find that you took a different approach being able to step back a little bit? Because I know a lot of the artists, all of us have.
You just heard a snippet of the latest single, Good For You, by Alberta's hot
country duo, Fleischer. Everybody had a chance to kind of reset and
rooted in the influence of their farmland upbringing,
Fleischer, born and raised Albertans,
what we were paying attention to and what we weren't,
grit and edgy
being able to make those changes during that time.
What was the best thing that you guys learned about yourselves?
This edgy song speaks to the stubborn side in us all, coming to terms with missing an ex, but refusing to change who we are to go chase after them.
Fleischer
is a Country Music Alberta Award-nominated Canadian country duo, and they reached top 12 finalists in the Alberta Music's 2021 and 2022 Project Wild competition. It's pretty outstanding. Such a great competition that one is. They have grit in their blood harmonies and unvarnished truths in their lyrics. They are ones to watch. Here to talk about their brand new single and video is Canadian country duo Fleischer, brothers Ryan and Brad.
We started playing
Welcome
shows.
To the show.
You say that you've been following for a long time. We started playing shows back when I was 14, mm-hmm. Ryan was 13. So really all of our teen years and all of our adult lives have been spent making music,
mm-hmm.
Recording music and performing music live and sharing that. And we found Honestly, we found a different kind of we were able to actually just discover ourselves as people rather than entertainers, I guess, because mm-hmm. that's all we had ever known.
Mm-hmm.
Was really that side of it. So to I really, especially myself, I felt like I identified as my stage self like all the time, I guess. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of my, that was like my only being. It was like all I had to my personality, it felt like, even.
Well, it's so in depth yeah. with you. Like it's, that's the one thing I've noticed with you is just you've got such an incredible understanding of music. Like you guys are so full of knowledge, which is so unusual, you know, for people starting out. But as you said, you guys have been doing this for a while, so it's not like you haven't. But it's just the amount of knowledge you have already, what you've learned. Like you guys are grounded when it comes to understanding what it takes to do all this.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we started kind of by ourselves with a lot of parent support. Just two kids that wanted to see what we could do. So yeah, it's every lesson along the way has been mm-hmm. very well received.
And there's definitely an appreciation too, I guess, like you said, with that mindset of kind of starting from the bottom kind of thing, right? And now it's there's a huge appreciation for the team that we've built.
Mm-hmm.
I think because of that, right? So all of a sudden it's nice to when you have some amazing humans working on things behind the scenes that you know we don't have to take full control of all the time anymore. That's a good feeling. It's cool that we've kind of made it to that point, I guess.
It's nice, Ryan, when you have a team behind you that you definitely know now and that you can count on, because like that's half the battle is working with people that you can really trust and people that know you guys and the kind of music and what you want to put out there to the fans, what it means to you, and just being able to have that branding in place.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes a lot of self-discovery, it's always fun sharing that with everybody.
Let's take it back a little bit because we have a lot of international fans and I want them to get to know you, you know, from the beginning. Like you said, you guys started, you know, like age 7, already wanting to name your band, which
yes.
to me yeah. is like so cool. Tell us about that a bit, Brett.
Yeah. It's almost kind of funny looking back on, I guess, but, music already got a hold of us at a very young age. You know, we're not one of those artists that I guess can say that we were, you know, singing on stage when we were, you know, 3 or 4, like we hear sometimes, but
mm-hmm. we were dreaming about it.
Yeah, but we were, yeah, there was just a pull, right? And like we would sing along to the radio very young, just like many kids do, but I think it just resonated stronger with Ryan and I than some of at least the people that we knew at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were just listening to Meatloaf or Bryan Adams or Bruce Springsteen. Dad wouldn't even pull the truck off of the driveway of our, like the front driveway of our house there without us trying to say, push in the tape. And he'd push in the cassette tape and it would be one of those artists playing. And we would just, our heads would just be full of all these amazing stories, especially Meatloaf. Like if you look into some of that stuff, like it's just it's a theatrical, like those songs told a story. And so, that just resonated with us. And that was our TV. That was our movies. Like we had it all up in our head. And, we just got to the age where we wanted to, tell our own stories. And we had our own life experiences we got sick of just singing everyone else's without talking about our own. So that's kind of where we flipped into artistry. But yeah, we talked about starting a band back when we were 6 and 7, on Edmonton Trail of Energy and just listening to one of those bands. And it's like, well, we could do that one day too. And we are.
I think it's so cool at the age of 7 that you wanted to name a band. Like you guys already knew what you wanted to do, not just one of you, but both of you. And
yeah.
that's kind of cool, you know, to look at the history, because I know your mom, she's really heavy into the lyrics of a song. And, you know, that's really what she gravitates to. Your dad, definitely the rock guy, right?
Yeah, I'm amazed. As yes, 100%. Yes, it's like you know them. Yeah, mom always. It was funny. We would almost vice versa. We'd pull off the driveway and be saying, "Push in the tape." Well, mom was. I'll never forget like how many times we'd sit there and she'd pull up on the driveway and we wouldn't get out until the song was over. And she'd always quiz us on. Like, who's this playing? And it'd be like Blue Rodeo, and we'd guess wrong or whatever. And she's like, no, come on, you know this guy, you know this voice, and you know. So
nice.
Yeah, and we were very, yeah, it was great being raised. Maybe not like our parents don't really play music, and like mom played a little bit of piano.
Mm-hmm.
But we definitely were raised with a deep, deep appreciation for the art.
I
was going to say too, yeah, there's, I think the fact that our parents wanted to play, but didn't really get a chance to, I think that really played into how much support there was coming from them when mm-hmm. we decided that's what we wanted to do, right? They made sure that at least when it came to opportunities that we weren't really held back, right? Like they were enablers.
Nice. Well, because normally, you know, parents get a little bit worried when they hear, you know, we're going to chase this dream, we're going to go after this, because it's not an easy industry, and let's face that, you know, like it's that's the way it is. You got to work really hard. Now, the work ethics that you guys have, with the background that you have, working the way that you have throughout your life, I think has really set the tone to the respect that you have for working as hard as you do and having that mindset already. And I think that's really cool. Very cool.
Yeah. It's, I think it becomes easier to put in the hours that we do when we view it a little bit more, just pursuing mm-hmm. our, whatever potential is left, you know, like I think it's when you frame it that way in your mind, it just makes it a little bit easier to put in that 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th hour, 15th, 16th, some days.
Most definitely.
We definitely took that, like those kind of blue collar lessons from our upbringing. We mm-hmm. we took that and brought that into our music lives as well, right? Like, because like Brad said, like a lot of times when we were asking Dad to push in the tape, like, we'd be on our way to work with him when we were kids, right? Like Dad owned his own business and mm-hmm. we in construction and we grew up as a very close family. And like I said, just like taking those lessons of working hard and building something. We took those lessons and applied that to music. So
mm-hmm. your parents must be so proud in living vicariously through both of you.
Yeah, they're around for a lot of our shows. I think they've only missed a few shows out of 300-ish around. I don't know. I think we're over 300 now. But and a lot of those shows are like full band.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't do the solo acoustic thing much. It was always like all of our own equipment, and like I say, like 14-hour days. You set it all up with your entire crew and play 3, sometimes 4 hours. So that's kind of how we cut our teeth.
What was it like for you guys, you know, when you, did you get together with the whole band? Like how much time did you have to rehearse before your first show this year?
Before our first show this year. Mm-hmm. Well, we do a lot of, like, it's just a little bit more efficient to really rehearse, like have the whole show put together, set list, the plan, and really rehearse it apart, because even the musicians that we hire to join us on stage now, everyone's just so busy. So mm-hmm. you have to find a way to really get efficient for your time together. So we'll rehearse very strongly. And with all technology nowadays, you can rehearse almost like you're in the same room anyway. So with sending work tapes and that kind of thing, so you can send the exact version and everything. Anyway, long story short, we've rehearsed a lot for sure, especially on our own preparing mm-hmm. for the shows this year. And proved to work out so far.
COVID kind of was good in that way, where so many people were, you know, creating their own studios, learning different sounds that you may not have had time, you know, to learn as busy as you guys were prior to, you know, going through the lockdown, and just being able to explore music on a different level, because, you know, you had the time to unplug from the noise and to be able to, you know, reset, take a look at how you guys wanted to approach, you know, your next level of music. And I think it's just kind of cool. This, you know, just so many of the artists out there can do so much and learn so much through this time, being able to, as you said, looking at the sounds that you guys want to create, you can do that in your own home. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah, there were a lot of conversations, and it's just ongoing. It never ends. That's part of the beauty and the despair of art. It just never, you never feel 100% satisfied. And on, I kind of joke about it, but it's just an amazing thing, because it's kind of like, it's kind of like life itself. You're always evolving and.
It's always going to change.
Have a different viewpoint and that kind of thing. But yeah, we there are a lot of our conversations specifically to our group, like our duo here, is just around that balance of our the grit of our rock side and the country music storytelling and that kind of thing. So
we're
always developing and excited to see where it takes us next.
Yeah, because it changes all the time. You are going to change, you know, quite a bit just in your songwriting alone and what you're going to be learning along the way. Was it hard for you guys, you know, during COVID to, because the two of you write together, right? And when you're adding in other songwriters, at first it's really tough, you know, to be able to adjust to working with a third party or fourth party that's come into the room for a write. And, you know, just because the two of you know each other so well, you know what you're looking for. Was it hard for you at first? And were you doing a lot of Zoom writes over the lockdown?
Yeah, we were doing quite a few. Obviously, there was a little bit of an obstacle with kind of getting together in person. We weren't doing quite as much in-person co-writes as we were prior to, actually. But it was kind of interesting to be able to expand a little bit into like co-writes over Skype and over Zoom and that kind of thing.
It's weird when you can't feel that energy, right?
Yeah, it is kind of weird, but like you were saying, it definitely I think in some ways we do have an advantage of like Brad and I kind of obviously grew up with similar experiences, and so in a lot of ways it kind of seems like we share a brain sometimes, right? So sometimes we experience that in co-writes as well, where maybe one person has an idea, but it's like, it's just kind of, it just needs to be refined a little bit, or it's, you know, it's just buried back in there a little bit and just needs a little bit of, you know, another perspective with a similar mindset to actually bring it out. So that part we definitely do experience a lot of times in songwriting.
I think once you get used to it and you see the group or the people that you will gravitate to when you've got an EP to do or an album to do, you know, you got to get it done quickly. You'll end up working with, you know, certain people that you know that you're going to come out with something every time. And you get used to that over the time, you know, over your career, you'll see who you'll work with. I know we've got some amazing Canadian artists here, and a lot of people are, you know, going back and forth to Nashville. What's it been like for you, Brad, when it comes to, I know you did a lot of the majority of the writing in the beginning. What have you noticed has been the biggest change just in the last year in comparison to what you thought, you know, approaching music was like?
Well, I guess the quickest thing that you learn is that there's more hats to wear than a musician or than a writer. There's just a lot to it. But that's, like I said, that's the beauty of it too, is you're involved in so much of the whole journey. And it's nice to just develop all your skills and recognize what you need to work on next. And, I think mom always says it. It's you just have to focus on what's the next right step, and that's 100%. It's never done us wrong.
That's cool.
I think that answers your question.
It does. Yeah. No, that's really cool. What about you, Ryan? What have you noticed has been the biggest change in your writing?
Well, we're constantly doing more and more co-writing, like you had mentioned. I guess for me personally, it's been exciting to see like the, you know, to further build on co-writing relationships. Mm-hmm. I guess in the last couple years anyway. And yeah, personally, that part for me has been kind of the most exciting. It's just like you say, developing developing those relationships and really figuring out what like figuring out where the ideas work the best and with who, right? So there's definitely co-writing groups that we're establishing, and
I'd say also in the last year, to build on that, there's also this knack that you start to get after writing with enough different people in different groups as to which song you should, like, which idea you should present to which group, I think is
a good corner. Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if there's like a certain concept that you've got in your head, there's certain people that will that you've written with in the past, these relationships that you can pull upon for that, like, oh wow, that person will be perfect for this.
Mm-hmm.
That person will be perfect for that. And
that's kind of what I meant. Yeah, that's kind of what I meant. Like, you get used to it along the way, because when you're doing so much writing and you want to get into as many writing sessions as you can with as many people as possible, because that's how you learn. And and then you'll just know who gets you and understands the kind of music that you're trying to put out there. And you know that just by, you know, your gut and how easy it is to work on there. I know, like so everybody thinks that you get into a writing session, sometimes it may take you weeks, you know, to get a song. Sometimes it might take you a couple hours. You know, it just depends, right? It just really depends. Do you guys go with the process of titles first? Like, you have, you know, a whole list of titles. How do you guys approach your music?
It's not one size fits all, at least for us. It's very, like, we've got titles in mind for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Or a hook kind of thing where, you know, a couple lines that really play nice together and bang, that is the, you know, that's the concept. But a lot of times it's just like a couple ideas or emotion or some kind of thought.
Mm-hmm.
That you've got that kind of spawns it, either that or a combo. So I kind of play a lot of riffs and that kind of thing on guitar, and because we're obviously with our rock influences, we're a little bit inspired mm-hmm. that way. So sometimes it'll be like a chord progression or a specific kind of guitar riff that kind of spawns something, and then you'll look through your document and an idea that fits nicely
mm-hmm.
with that sound, and that's kind of usually how we do it.
There's a big difference between playing guitar for or bass for rock music in comparison to country. Country, everybody thinks it's the opposite. If fans don't really know, it's quite different for country. It's a lot more complex, you know, to play in country.
It's funny how there's definitely a concept like a kind of stigma out there that country music is very simple.
Not at all.
And it's not really that way. There's certain things, it's just like anything, it's not necessarily wrong either. There are simplicities to it, but in order to stand out in country music,
mm-hmm.
That's where the challenge lies. It's not in, you know, if you take the stigma of the typical country song, yeah, you can probably squeeze out a country song pretty quick, but mm-hmm. it's not about writing a country song. It's about writing a country song that resonates,
mm-hmm.
and that's where the challenge lies: standing out, being authentic, and resonating with human beings that don't know how to play a note, right?
Right.
So,
and it's kind
of it's funny too that you know, anyone, whenever I hear people say country music is easy, I encourage them to take a trip down Broadway in Nashville, and I think that quickly changes their mind.
Oh, the session musicians will turn around, and it's just like when you listen to these guys play, and it's just like, it's crazy what they can do. And it's mind blowing. It's just a totally different challenge to your brain. When you think about if you really understand rock music and you can play guitar, there's only a few chords, really. There's not a whole lot, you know, for rock music in comparison to what country is. It's And what I love about you guys is because you want these lyrics to make a difference. So when you think about, you know, Ride, when you put out Ride, okay, when you we sit about and you think about how great that song was for so many fans, and when you're hearing them sing that song back to you, a lot of these fans are going to have kids of their own. And if that was one of their favorite songs, and just like you, you're listening to your parents and what your upbringing was and your influences in rock music. Well, have you ever thought about what it's like for the fans listening to your music and how they're going to be playing it for their kids? So it goes generation to generation. And it's kind of a cool way to look at it when you're putting out songs like you guys do. And yeah, you know, it's just... You don't think of it. You always think, I need to get on the radio right now. I'm really hoping everybody likes the song. But when you're thinking about how younger kids are going to be listening to their parents and all the songs that they loved, and it could be one of yours, right? It's really cool.
I really appreciate you mentioning that. Yeah, it's we do occasionally take a glimpse back, and because that's really it's one of the things that kind of keeps us inspired and motivated, one of many things, but is that thought process of inspiring kids, because that's kind of where it all started for us. And actually, brief little story here on that concept. For example, we did this thing a while back. An old band teacher of ours that got us kind of inspired in music invited us out. He was a high school band teacher still at the time, years after we graduated, and he had us come out and give some constructive criticism. We sat on a panel, kind of like an American Idol kind of vibe.
Oh, cool.
And these young musicians got up on stage, just like rock band style, drums, guitar, vocals, you know, bass, and they would play it for us, a couple songs, and then we would give them constructive criticism, these high school students.
Nice.
And that was definitely one of those moments, I guess, especially years later. There's been a couple this year. There's been a couple of those kids that we kind of critiqued, quote unquote, that came up to us and said, I was actually that kid or one of those kids that you talked to that day. And obviously years have passed, these high school kids and beards and it's
a big change, right?
Yeah, mustaches or whatever, and it's like, I didn't recognize you as one day years in the past, but to hear these kids say that was, you know, one of the reasons that they got started, and actually one of those kids has played a few shows for us as a drummer.
Oh, nice. A few shows. Oh, that's so great. That's amazing.
Full circle in that kind of case, and absolutely, it just fills your heart up in the best way when you did, you know.
Yeah, you're influencing. Exactly. And your music, as I said, you guys have an incredible understanding, you know, of music and great music. When you're looking at the Eagles, you know, Bob Seger, like they're some of my favorite artists of all time, Springsteen. They're incredible storytellers that are just hard to find in music today. And when you guys are looking towards having that kind of impact and transitioning that into country, and, you know, country music obviously is amazing for storytelling. There's no doubt about it. It gives you that platform in a different way. What was that transition like for you, you know, going from the rock? Because you guys did the cover band. You did all of that in the rock end of it and transitioning over into country. What was that like for you and the decision that you made doing that, Brad?
I think it started to become pretty clear to us. We often talk about we did that CMI program, the Artist Entrepreneur Program.
Great program.
In CMI. Yep. Yeah, in 2018, and that's really, like, obviously we were heavily inspired by country music and rock music both, like, and just good music in general. But that was really the time that we realized country music was our home, without any question. It became very clear very, very quickly to us. Just because we wanted a platform to be able to write those stories, like you were saying. So that's kind of, as far as the transition from rock to country, that's why it happened, how it happened. It obviously takes a little bit of time to try and figure out that blend and what really, you know, find that on that artistic pursuit and really grab a hold of that sound that we're going for, that mm-hmm. our souls are searching for, essentially. So yeah, it took some time, but I think we're there.
Yeah, I think so. Looking back, it was daunting at the time, but I think looking back, it kind of just makes sense because we love the rock and the like the passion behind the rock music, like in the live setting.
Mm-hmm.
But the country is really where the stories come from, like you mentioned, right? So, and it's just so fitting with our past and our upbringing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like those country stories. We spent a lot of time on our grandparents' farms, like both mom's side and dad's side. So, getting our hands dirty and, you know, spinning tires and all of it.
Well, you guys, you know, these programs are so incredible. And the other one that we got to talk about too is Project Wild. And that's a huge deal. Huge, huge deal for you guys. What was that like for you to hear that news?
A lot of the artists that we were in that program with, when we were listed as one of the top 12 there, among some of the artists that we've, we respect very heavily.
Mm-hmm.
We did then and we do now, and we always will. Some amazing friendships. Most of all, our biggest takeaway is how you can build, you know, strong relationships with these people, mm-hmm. That you respect so heavily. And we're all working for the same kind of thing. Even being in the room, you're technically quote unquote competing with these people, but
I know
you really feel as though you can't lose when you're talking about passionate, hardworking people, and every single one of them, like, you know, no exclusions.
I really
that stage giving everything they have.
Yeah.
And you realize very quickly that the world doesn't lose mm-hmm. at the end when someone gets awarded that. And we couldn't be more happy for Shayla and Kyle and Drew. We love them all very much. And they've been crushing it ever since and always have. So, yeah, great.
Well, it opens up the door, even whether you win or not. Like, obviously, that $100,000 goes a long way when it comes to what you can do as an independent artist, because you need that funding. And mm-hmm. But I've seen so many doors open just being in that program, and the friendships are just incredible. Canadian artists are so supportive of one another. And I absolutely love that. I just wish we had more programs, you know, in different provinces that, you know, are doing that same thing. But yeah, that's such a great program. I'm so happy for you guys. That's a big deal. Big deal that you were in that top 12. That's really cool.
Yeah, we feel it.
You got a lot of hats. Yeah, you got a lot of hats that you guys have to wear. I think you're learning that, you know, in a big way, you know, in the last couple of years, because it's not just being an artist. You got to do your own branding. There's so much involved when it comes to finances. Just to be an independent artist, it is hard and it's a grind. You know, the social media and getting your any music that you've got out there, you got to be able to make sure it's getting on any chart. So you've got to work with so many different people of different parts in the music industry, and you got to do it. You got to do it yourself, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's the thing too, right? Like, there's nothing like a Project Wild $100,000 push, you know, to try to get you to refine your processes.
That's
like,
right.
Even just the potential of it, it definitely had us. It established a new standard for how we work, for our brotherhood and our partnership.
Mm-hmm.
It being over a nearly 6 month period too, right? Like, it's there's no breaks. It's an endurance race, right? And like you said, there's
and also a sprint at the same time.
Like you said, it really brings everyone together, right? Like,
yeah.
It's funny how you're, like Brad said, you're competing, but at the same time, like, everyone. It could have gone to anyone, and any each one of them would have deserved it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You guys, you know, as I said, you're right up there, and I keep saying that you guys are ones to watch. And yeah, right on top, boy. I'm telling you, you guys are there. I want to ask you something. I wanted to, because of the types of music that you like, it just allows the fans to get to know you a little bit more. Ryan, what is one song that meant a lot to your dad that impacted the kind of artist that you wanted to be? Just think of one song.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the first one that comes to mind is Take It to the Limit by the Eagles.
Oh, one of my favorites.
And yeah, it's funny, like, you know, he's always been a huge fan of that song, and I think it rings true to how we were raised, right? Like, it's very very kind of hopeful, very just like a give it your all type of song, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny how, you know, certain songs make you think of certain people, and that's definitely one that every time I hear that song, it's just, you know,
brings back memories for me too.
Yeah, it's an amazing song, right? So artistically, we definitely like we mentioned before, like we really draw from those kind of classic rock influences as well as 90s country, so
mm-hmm.
That blend is always something we're striving for.
When you look back at Bob Seger and you look back at the Eagles and you look back at Meatloaf and you look back, like, how much of an impact it had on your generation right now in comparison to when I was growing up when they came out, right? So as I said, that it's amazing how we look at artists from generation to generation, and you guys are going to be really surprised. I guarantee it. You guys are going to be really surprised at how well your music stands the test of time.
That means a lot. Yeah. That's the goal, right? That's
exactly
literally why you put the pen to paper, so to speak. I guess we put fingers on keyboards now, but
mm-hmm. Big difference. 100%. Right?
Yeah, that's the reason you do it, is to make and good things last.
They do. Yeah, they do. And you guys, as I said, that with that base that you have, just that understanding that you have, and using all these platforms that you've been on and working with Project Wild, it's just like, it's just done such a great, great thing just to give you that knowledge. And it just makes you more hungry. It just really pushes you, right?
Yeah. Always chasing that potential, and to see to have that support and that kind of the nod of the head of some of those programs and feel them behind us.
Mm-hmm.
It really helps.
We're
eternally grateful for every single person that's helped us on the journey.
I feel it with you guys. I really do. I have such an appreciation for your worth ethics. It's just amazing. Brad, name your favorite song, or one that, as I said, that impacted you, that you know impacted your mom, that she used to listen to, that really, really meant something for the lyrics.
Oh, on the tip of my, it's another Eagles song, which is kind of hilarious. New York Minute, I think.
Oh, wow.
That one resonates with me. When I think of her, I think of that song. I don't know if it's her favorite song. She'd probably laugh if she was hearing this, but there's something about that song. I know she loves it, and just like that kind of mindset that things can change so quickly, for worse or for better. So, you know, live every moment, kind of appreciate it and care about it, because you never know which way it's going to go and how fast.
And we've learned that, boy, haven't we, in the last couple of years. Never saw that coming.
Yeah, exactly. So
Ryan, favorite song of all time for you?
Oh, man. There's so many. favorite song of all time.
That really, really made you want to pursue music and write your own.
I don't know if I can pick just one, but Bob Seger, I'd have to say, has probably been arguably my biggest influence in getting into writing, especially. Like,
mm-hmm.
his songwriting is just unbelievable.
He's on my road tunes. Like, I've seen him so many times, and absolutely love him.
And Turn the Page.
That's mine.
One of the first that come to mind as to, you know, like one of the early inspirations, like early on in our careers, that song in particular made a huge impact for me.
Yeah. I think that's my all time favorite. of his. And I've interviewed him a couple times, and when he talks about his music, it's just, he wrote what it was like on the road, and some of it was tough, and it was challenging for him because a lot of management didn't want him to write like that.
And well, I'm glad he did.
Me too. Me too. Okay, cool. So what about you, Brad?
I'm gonna say, I can't limit it to just one song, but Roll Me Away by Bob Seger.
Okay.
And Bat Out of Hell by Meatloaf.
Yeah, that song's that's that's a legend. That one.
I'll also say Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi. And if you mix all of those together,
that's who you want to be.
I think that's bending the rules. Yeah, it is bending.
It's amazing how songs have such power in so many ways, and in what the content to what you listen to, what you watch, what influences you, it'll influence your life along the way, right? It's exactly who you are when you look back at what you guys have had a part of your music journey.
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how much influence has going through the small town and just being able to look at what success meant to you when you started, and when you're looking at what success means to you now, Brad?
Well, we started at such a young age that, you know, our peers were thinking about flying to the moon and being astronauts, and some were thinking they were going to ride dinosaurs, I'm pretty sure. Like, that's how young we were dreaming of this. So along those lines, success at that age was, 100,000 people in front of you. We grow up, and that's still the dream. It's still the goal.
Mm-hmm.
But you start to get a little bit more realistic and grounded, I suppose. And really, the next right step that Mom always talked about, right? For us, success at this point would be getting to the point where we're doing music full time and we get to dedicate our lives day in and day out towards reaching that full potential of ourselves as artists.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what success looks like to me now.
Very good. Very good. What about you, Ryan?
Well, like you said, it's funny, you go through all these small towns, and we've done a lot of shows in towns of, well, one of our favorite shows we always talk about is in a little town called Elnora here in Alberta. And I think they only have about 500 people in the town, and they do a rodeo every year where they get about 3,000 out to the rodeo. So people just come from all of these kind of surrounding areas and all these surrounding farms and kind of those kind of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most kind of, I guess, profound things about that for me is how much of a family you kind of build over time doing those little events here and there, and like playing those small towns kind of thing. Is when these people come and they see you at a bigger show down the road, it's really cool to hear these people say, yeah, we saw you when you were 14 years old or whatever. you played in my bar in this small town kind of thing, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
you're building like just such a cool family along the way. And I don't know, it's just something that
feels like success.
Yeah, totally.
That's very cool.
Yeah, the big shows are always kind of, it's undeniable that those are kind of stepping stones, right? Like, it's, mm-hmm. Those ones are kind of what you're shooting for. But when you look back, it's cool to see what you've built in all those little steps, right?
In all those pubs or, small bars that opened up their doors to give you an opportunity, on a stage.
Day, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the ones that we hear a lot, when artists take a look back and say, I never would have had it as good as what I do today if I didn't have those owners that took a chance in mm-hmm. those small little clubs, right?
Exactly.
Very cool. Okay. So let's talk about the writing for the two of you. do you write as a team now, or you still do some stuff individually and then come together? Tell us about that.
Yeah, sure. We, you know, if I, we spend a lot of time together, but there's obviously times where we have to be apart. Mm-hmm. So there are moments where, you know, if either one of us has an idea, we'll jot it down in the document. But if you have enough time to try to develop it a little bit further, I think there is something to be said for occasionally you'll get pretty far along just by yourself on something. Mm-hmm. But that said, we've kind of reached a level now where there's no song that gets out the door that we aren't both involved in.
Okay.
Like we're just, it just makes sense. Like, it's just, I don't know how to explain it other than we've developed our co-writing, especially together as a duo. It makes no sense to not include the other person at this point.
Well, and it's interesting how often too that, you know, sometimes you have a thought, either one of us, right, where, you know, you're like, man, this is awesome, like, can't be beat. Mm-hmm. And the other person comes in and they're like, hey, it might be more universal if we do it this way, kind of thing, right? And it allows that idea to be more widely, you know, accepted and understood
by other people outside of the Fleischer family.
That's true. That's so true. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you look at it that way, when you look at your harmonies, I call them blood harmonies. Mm-hmm. That takes time to master. It really does. But there's nothing like them, and it's just such an incredible asset to have when the two of you can sing the way that you do. When did you guys know that you had that kind of a voice for both of you?
I think for myself, especially coming from the rock scene first, mm-hmm. I'll just say that I discovered it first, but it wasn't even completely by choice. We didn't have a, this is going back a long time ago, we didn't have a singer for the band when we started. And we couldn't find one, and I was just like, you know what, I'll just learn how to play and sing as well. Mm-hmm. So I guess I kind of discovered my performing singing voice first, but as we, especially in the country scene, as we started co-writing together especially, that's kind of when we started realizing how beautiful it was when we were singing together.
Nice.
We've done, like Brad said, we've done so many shows in the rock scene, and I was always doing harmonies, like when we were playing those shows back in the day, even way back then, right? So, but it really, like, we've been really focusing on developing those to a higher degree over the last, you know, 5 years or so, where mm-hmm. it's where, like you say, you start to realize how big of an asset that actually is. And
beautiful, yeah, thing.
We've been really diving into that and trying to master that as best we can. Like, it's just such a beautiful thing when you can actually and another thing too is it actually kind of brings people into the family as well, right? Like, people, it's kind of just a magical moment on stage. But
we've got so many great Canadians right now, females as well as males, that, you know, are doing that right now. And those harmonies, you just can't beat them. It's a beautiful thing. And I absolutely love it. So as soon as I heard you guys, I went, oh man, you guys got such a bright future. And that's why I just kept an eye out on you. It's like, okay, these guys are just getting better and better and better. And the one song we're going to be talking about right now, that's going to be the first one we're going to be playing, and that is Wild One. This is the first one that you guys, the first song, I think, that you guys released that you didn't write.
Yeah, kind of a step to the side, especially if you've been following us for a long time. Mm-hmm. There was a time where we would have said that would never happen, but no, it's just a great song that really resonated with us, and we...
You never know, you can't always,
it was an open-minded kind of moment where we were like, you know what, it speaks to us, we're gonna do this. So mm-hmm. we're proud we did, and
it's a good one.
That a lot of people really like it. So
it's been such a huge hit for you. Were you expecting that? I think you hope it. But yeah.
In music, I'm going to be honest, you don't know what to expect ever.
I know. It's so true, though, because you'll have some songs that you guys have probably written and going, man, this one's it. This one is going to do it. And then it doesn't really do so well. And then one you don't think is going to do very good does amazing. So you never know. You just never know.
I guess speaking to that a little bit, there were some, the song's super catchy.
Big time.
It's a very catchy tune. And, you know, the lyrics are very easy to relate to. So, like, it kind of makes sense that it does resonate for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But obviously, like, when you see something work, you can't help but just feel so grateful that it did work. And that's kind of where we are. We're very grateful for that song and how well it's done for us. And yeah.
Well, Emma Lee and Tebe and Karen Kozlowski, boy, yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah,
wrote that one. That's right, country stars. Holy cow, those ones really know what they're doing. So yeah,
makes, they sure do. Yeah,
makes a big difference when you have a song that you can relate to. That just makes it so much easier. Really easy to be able to deliver that one. So we're going to play this one right now. Here is Wild One by Canadian country duo Fleischer here on Music's Journey.
You tell yourself she came here alone. You order her a drink, but you don't know if she is more whiskey or red wine. Early or late night, oh. She's smiling, but she makes you nervous. You swear she's doing it on purpose. You keep on trying to fight it, but she's pulling you right in, oh. She's got you right where she wants you. Ooh, she's a wild one out of control. Type when she puts on Petty and Springsteen, starts calling you baby. Oh, she's got you right where she wants you. Ooh, she's a wild one. Wild hearts never break. Ooh, she's a wild one, don't get too close.
What a fun song, one that we can all relate to. And that was Wild One by my very special guest, country duo Fleischer. Don't forget you can download Wild One on all your streaming platforms. You can add it to your playlist and share it. You can also request it at your favorite local country radio station. This one is a must to play live. This must be so much fun.
It is. Yeah, it is a lot of fun to play live. You know, a lot of, again, it's a super catchy song. A lot of people have memorized the lyrics and sing it to us, and it's just a good time. Mm-hmm. Always a great time.
I bet. I can see this one live. Okay, so talk about, is there anything, you know, anything in the works for an EP or an album?
Yeah, we're definitely working towards an EP, and we're, yeah, we're getting pretty close here. We got a
music to my
songs
ears
in the bag that you guys can look forward to in the coming year.
I'm looking forward to this because I've been waiting. I've been waiting. So I think we all have been waiting. So we've been waiting for one to come from you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess good for you too is.
Really good song.
We're super proud of that tune too.
Really good song. Now we're gonna be playing that one in a little bit. So Ryan, talk about you guys delivering such a great high energy show. I talk about this all the time when it comes to you can have a great song, but unless you guys know how to perform live, you know, that's where you build the fan base fast. And that's something that you guys have really mastered. You guys are really doing such a great job on your live performance.
Yeah, we really like to, you know, just let loose live and just have a good time and just invite everyone else in the room into that kind of that feeling too. And we played so many shows as a rock band. There's always a little bit of that kind of that attitude in mm-hmm. the live show there.
Thank God.
we have a ton of fun with it, and it's just I don't know. It's just one of those things that we always. That's where we feel at home, right?
So that's kind of how we started too, right? Like the first thing that we did in the music, like is start playing live even before we were writing. Mm-hmm. So it kind of makes sense that that's kind of, it's always been, it was almost our first pull really.
Okay. Very cool. Now, when it comes to your favorite moment on stage so far, Ryan?
Favorite moment on stage. One that really comes to my mind, first is, we did a show in our hometown here, for the Alberta Summer Games. It was a few years back now, but that was our first really big show with the screens on the side kind of thing. And it was right across the street from our high school that we graduated from.
Oh, really?
So that was, it was in the arena, yeah, just like I said, just across the street. So it was really cool to actually be able to look out and see the high school.
Nice.
That, you know, we walked the stage in. So it's
that's kind that of was, a cool
that
memory.
Was a huge moment for me.
Yeah, that's really cool. What about you, Brad?
I would say probably off the top of my head, Elnora. Ryan mentioned Elnora, Alberta. They've called us back several times, several years in a row. I don't even know how many now. I'm losing count. And we go back there and every time it's a bigger crowd, but you see some familiar faces that have become, you know, strong, very cherished fans of ours. And, but one of the years we were there, I shouted to the crowd, this is our last song. We came out for an encore. I said, this is the last song. Let's lose our minds. And how wide I saw the whole audience, their eyes got so wide, and I literally thought to myself, oh God, what did I do? And we were playing on a trailer, like a flat deck trailer.
Oh yeah.
And they grabbed onto the sides of the trailer and started shaking it.
Oh no.
And like obvious, just out of like pure I don't know how to say it, just like a euphoric rush of the live energy, like not malicious at all, like just an amazing group of people.
You have to watch that, right?
Trailer and our amps started shaking, and Ryan had to like put his back against his full stack bass amp so it didn't tip over, and it was the most wild
it was just a perfect, great live experience. And it's funny, too, now every year we go back there, we make sure we actually tie our amps to the stage. We like bungee cord them because we're like, we don't know how this crowd's gonna get. They just have so much fun out there.
You'll have you'll have to watch what you're asking for next time. Right?
Yeah, exactly. It was a lesson learned on my part.
I bet. Oh, favorite concert that you've gone to, Brad?
I know we mentioned his name a few times, but he hadn't played Canada too much at the time. I don't know his whole touring schedule. It was Bob Seger.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know exactly. My mom said that she was looking for a chance to see him for many years, but he never played Canada, she said.
Not too often. The last Toronto show was 2016? 16 or 15, I think.
I forget what year it was, but I remember that Bob, he was 67 that year.
I think it was 2015 when he came through.
That must have been it then.
I
can't believe it's been that long. But yeah,
I know.
That was it. There were a few tickets that went on sale from a coworker of mine on our intranet page, and I picked them up, and we took mom and dad to go see Bob Seger. We got floor seats, and it was...
Silver Bullet Band.
For sure, to share that moment with them.
I think he brought the Silver Bullet Band that year, too, if I remember.
I believe so, yeah. And it was funny, too. Actually, Dallas Smith, that was one of his first shows as a solo.
Oh, really?
People, right? So it was cool to see that, too, because I just heard of his switch before. And he opened for Bob Seger at that show.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I forgot all about that. That's right. Well, Dallas is good at whatever he does.
he's
so good.
I wasn't familiar at the time, but I remember looking in that man's eyes performing, and that was like on the big screen there, and that whole he was bound determined to win that audience, and a huge amount of respect for that man.
Well, and Bob Seger would be pretty darn picky in who he had open for him too.
Yeah, he would be.
Very much so. Okay, so Ryan, favorite concert?
For me, it's kind of top of mind because we just got to play Country Thunder this year here in
Alberta. That's right.
And so we ended up on the same night as Morgan Wallen.
Oh.
And I have to say that show was unreal.
Yeah.
Like that, and I think partially for me too, it's just really cool because he's kind of like, we've been able to, to experience in our lifetime, I guess. Like, Bob Seger was cool because, he has such a legacy, but Morgan Wallen is currently building his legacy.
Yeah.
And it was really cool to actually be there for that.
Yeah. And there's no denying, like, his new album, oh man, he's just, you can't deny how good he is as an artist. He is just so, he's so in touch with country music, and he knows how to put it out there, and he's breaking down boundaries too. And definitely.
And yeah, he's got a good team on his side too. I guess that's also the thing, like when you go to these shows, being involved in the industry, maybe not to that degree, but to some degree, you can see a show in a whole different light. And it's just like, it's absolutely crazy to think of how many people are on that bandwagon making that happen.
Absolutely. Well, it's a well-oiled machine. You have to, you got to have your ear to the ground, when it comes to the fans, because things change so rapidly in music. Yeah. And you've got to have a really good team that's right on that. So definitely.
Yeah, you got to be there for the fans and all of their chapters and all of their, you got to be there as they progress.
Yeah. And the landscape of music has changed just so much just over COVID. When it comes to independent artists and being able to get your music out there in comparison to the way it was prior to. And, it's definite cookie cutter when it comes to radio. And it's tough to break that seal when you've got the artists that are already established and they'll immediately play them in comparison to letting some new people come in. And it's really laid out the playing field a lot more level. And you guys are able to play in more countries now than ever before. And yeah, it's really cool that aspect of what's happened through the lockdown.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, things are always changing and just trying to ride the wave.
That's right. Yeah. And you guys, you know, I think we're going to be seeing some incredible stuff coming from you. And I am so looking forward to every part of your journey. I'm just such a big fan. So really enjoy your music. Really good.
Thank you so much, Kim. Yeah. Really appreciate it. This is an amazing interview and really appreciate you. Thank you.
No problem. Now, one thing I want to touch base on that's really important. I interviewed the East Pointers earlier this year, and we talked really openly about losing their bandmate to suicide and the impact that, you know, suicide has on friends as well as everybody around that person. And it's had a big impact on the music industry as well, learning to check in on someone that we love. Brad, tell us about starting the fundraiser One More Light and why you started it.
It is definitely a tough subject for sure. Mm-hmm. But it's one that we need to talk about. It's a problem, I guess, for a lot of people. My best friend of 13 years, his name was Dakota Waukee. We went to high school together and went through a lot of ups and downs and were there for each other through a lot. And he ended up taking his own life in January of 2021. Basically came the idea of shedding some light on that, and pun intended, very much so, because that's kind of where we got the name for this fundraiser. So One More Light is the fight for suicide prevention. We make sure that that's right around Blue Monday, which is recognized as the saddest, quote unquote, the saddest day of the year. And it's, I believe, the third Monday of January. We wanted something that one more light, quote, to look forward to, because we feel as though that's a big thing in fighting depression, is having something to look forward to. So that's kind of why we wanted... Not many people put shows in January on purpose. That's kind of why we do it, is it's something to look forward to. Dakota loved live music. He loved having drinks with his friends. And he loved traveling, and it was a very loud and proud kind of person. So we like making some noise for him every January, starting last year, this year. But we're about to do it again in 2023 here on January 28th at the King Eddie. We're going to make some noise again and raise a glass for one more light that shone on brighter for longer.
So the proceeds go to the Distress Center for the YYC, right, in support of the suicide prevention?
Yeah, last year we went with the Distress Center. So Dakota, being from Airdrie, as well as ourselves, I guess, there was Thumbs Up Foundation is who the funds are going towards this year. Nice. They were one of our sponsors for the 2022 event.
Mm-hmm.
So we worked with them a little bit then, and they've just been great. So we want to, since they sponsored our first event, we kind of wanted to raise some funds for them this time around, especially being in Airdrie organization, right from, the same hometown as Dakota.
Okay. That's great. That's great.
Also, the other thing to note too is Kim. So the couple that run that organization, the Thumbs Up Foundation, Kim and Kim, they're both named Kim. Their son took his own life, and that's when they started their organization. So, strong connection with them very quickly. So
yeah, because we, there's just so much that we need to shed light on, and making sure that education is there, but also places for parents to talk to, friends, to be able to go to for support. And there's just so much that we need to be able to put a highlight on so that people find things easier. Where's the best place for people to get tickets for this event?
The ticket link is not quite up yet. In the next couple of days, it'll be available. So just follow our socials is the best bet.
Okay.
If you want to come out, if you want to see it, or actually we'll have donating options. Even if you're in another province or too far away, or you just can't make it that night, there will be ways to help out for sure. Obviously, this is just something that we feel strongly about. So
yeah, because I wanted to make sure that the fans know where to go, so if they can keep an eye on your socials as well as the King Eddie.
2022's event was absolutely phenomenal. Our inaugural, we raised over $3,800.
That's
a good
awesome
start for sure, especially in the heat of COVID. There were reduced capacities in live venues, and still people made it out. Dakota's dad made it out to the event and expressed his gratitude, which was another highlight for us.
There's so much that can come from it, and you know, it can get bigger and bigger, right? So you'll see.
Absolutely.
You'll see, and you can shed a light and really get some support out there for even programs into the schools too that really need to get in there and start talking about this more openly. And I'm really hoping we can do that again. So
100%. We need to stand together, because you know, life's just too great.
Well, and we also have the platforms to do it, and the more that we talk about it, and people that, you know, youths are looking up to, or young adults or adults, you know, it's just like people are looking at this situation more often, just simply because of all the job loss and, you know, the different reasons, right? And sometimes just, you know, we just never know. Steven was a big, good friend of mine that we've all watched on social media this last week. So I was as shocked as everybody. And I've known him, you know, since So You Think He Can Dance, when he was coaching. And in Canada here for So You Think He Can Dance Canada. And he was a mentor, and it just blew my mind, because he was just so incredible. He was such a light force and such a joy to be around. So you just never know, you know, what's going on. And we just want to make sure that we're checking in on people that we care about and love, and open up those doors of communication, because a lot of people just feel they can't talk about it. And that's the issue. So more we talk about it, the more we're bringing that to light, the more success we're going to have, and hopefully preventing some suicides, right?
And even talking about our own battles, right?
Yep. We all have them. We all have vices. And I always ask that. It's going to be one of the questions I'm going to be asking you in the Burning Question Port. Expect it. I always ask it. Okay, so let's talk about the new single, Good For You. So this is such a cool one, Ryan. Tell us about writing this one.
Yeah, this one, it was kind of funny. We all had a really long day that day, and we sat down and we're like, you know what? Let's just give it a shot, you know, and see what we come up with, kind of thing. And because we were all kind of tired, it's funny, there was just a more honest kind of atmosphere in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of late at night kind of thing, right? So yeah, we just started, and we honestly thought it might be one of those songs that, you know, take a few days or whatever to kind of bring together. And mm-hmm. but it, you know, we flew right through it, and yeah, it turned into Good For You. We had a really good time writing this one. We wrote it with Megan Dawson, another artist from the area here, and another artist that we have established a really cool writing relationship with. It was a really cool vibe in the room that day.
Nice. That's great when you're able to produce so quickly, and you feel it. You just know in your bones that, you know, this is good. And when you work with somebody like Dan Swinimer, it just that's the icing on the cake, because he is so incredible. And when he produces songs too, he reads you really easily.
Yes.
He can pull out of you what you never thought you were capable of.
Yes, that's true. Absolutely. Yeah, Dan's an amazing, amazing man. He's a good family man, and he's a great producer. He's a good musician.
Talented.
The list goes on. He's a good writer too.
Oh, I know. It's just, he does everything. He does everything, and a lot of people don't realize how much, you know, he has been, you know, so successful as a musician himself, and yeah, just incredible. What was it like working with him?
It's been amazing so far, and it's just been so much fun, and
I don't even know how to put it. We just have a great time every time we're in the room with him.
There's no shortage of great ideas coming from that man. So it's a really cool atmosphere in the room.
It's exciting. It just keeps on. Like I find so many times we'll just be singing for hours and hours and hours, and he's like, "Anytime you want to take a break," and I'm like, "Nope." Yeah, it's been great.
Awesome. We're going to play this one right now. Here is the new single, Good For You, by country duo Fleischer, here on Music's Journey.
No surprise we went back to our old ways. You're the pretty girl in church on a Sunday, and I'm praying to God that I won't stay hungover till Monday. Spent the day binging old shows, keeping my mind off why you're not mine. Your weak plan got your head on the pillow, and I got my hand on the bottle. You always did catch on quicker, and now that I ain't in the picture.
Was the new single Good For You by my very special guest Brad and Ryan, country duo Fleischer. Don't forget, you can download Good For You on all your streaming platforms. You can add it to your playlist and share it. You can also request it at your local country radio station. We got to talk about the new music video that you guys just put up. So let's talk about that one, Ryan.
Absolutely.
Yeah, honestly, that day was just such a blast. Like, we we can't even talk about that video without laughing. Like, it's
my favorite.
For anyone who's seen it, like, you know why. There's just it was just such a fun day that day. It was a long one. We planned on actually doing a 2-day shoot, and we packed it all into one day.
Stop. Did you really?
Yeah. So part of the reason was one of the people that we needed to be in it. You know, we were like, it really came together. The vast majority of it, like 80% of that, came together within about 1 week.
Wow.
So, it was a little bit of a whirlwind. As we got closer to the event, it was like, okay, it's one day, and we figured it all out timing wise. And it's always a little bit tough when you're dealing with the weather too, right?
Oh, like, I know.
It had to be outside. it had to be certain kind of weather conditions. So when it kind of all like lined up, we're like, all right, we have to just do it, right? So the weather was perfect for it. It was just honestly such a fun day.
Oh, that's awesome. It's so great when you have a video come off like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
we got to say too, like that truck was actually our grandfather's truck that he used to drive around all the time.
Oh, wow.
And he had it parked outside of the farmhouse for like 20 years, didn't start.
Yeah.
And literally Dad and Zach, one of the guys in the video, went up to the house and boosted it while we were, the other three of us, like Blaine, the drummer, and Ryan and I, were getting filmed, just three of us. And they went up to the truck to try to boost it because Grandpa said that he'd kind of donated it to the video. Because he said, if you can get it running, you can do whatever you want to it. So this 20-year-old truck with the same old gas, same battery.
Wow. They don't build them like they used to.
Honestly, exactly. They don't make them like they used to. It's they honestly really crazy don't. That thing even started. But yeah, like Brad said, old gas, like, it was wild. But
anyway, I hear
it came together.
I hear a country song coming out of that. They don't build them like they used to.
Exactly. And it's funny, too, because we had planned on a different truck is why it happened that way.
Oh, but wow.
Meant to be. The guy that was bringing the truck couldn't find the key, so we had to improvise. And that's why we ended up just saying, let's see if this thing will go, and it did. So.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. See, it was meant to be.
Exactly. Yeah.
Did your grandfather take a look at the video?
I don't know if he's seen it yet.
Oh, yeah, he has.
Yeah, he came out the next day and saw the truck, and he just kind of laughed and shook his head.
I was going to say, he's probably going, you youngins, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That is awesome. That is so cool. All right.
There's another little fun fact, actually. It's kind of funny. It's in our behind-the-scenes footage that we just posted to Instagram, but that day, it was our dad that was driving the truck like a crazy man. It's even funnier because that's the farm that he grew up on, right?
Her
dad felt like he was 16 again. Much that just made it just like a really fun day for everyone.
Full circle moment for him too.
Yeah, driving his dad's truck like a crazy person.
Very nice. I love it. All right, so is there anything that you can share with us for new music coming up for 2023?
Just that, like I said, we got a couple songs in the bag, and we're just excited to share it.
Hint.
Yeah.
I'm pulling it out of you.
I love it. Some kind of hint.
It's gonna be pretty high octane country. I'll tell you.
Pretty high octane country. Are we talking about February? Are we talking about January? Are we talking about March? I'm pulling it.
First quarter. Q1 2023.
Well, it's funny. We actually have to work it around our Nashville trip in March. So
yeah, we're trying to. We're literally, that's the next thing on our list tonight, is trying to finalize that. So one more trip to Nashville.
So Nashville first, and then another single.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Now, is this single going to be on an EP or album?
It would land on the EP that we're looking at releasing, yeah.
Okay, so this will be the first single?
Or are you putting
a couple of the other songs that you've released already?
Yeah, Good For You would definitely be on it. As well. So yeah, okay. It'll be the next single.
So promise me you're going to come back on the show and we'll talk about the new single.
I promise.
I'd love to.
And your Nashville trip. And your Nashville trip. I can't wait to hear how you guys come back and after writing on steroids. Yep.
Yes. Exactly. we're very excited.
Very, very cool. Okay. Now, burning questions. So we're going to fire these off at you. All right.
Okay.
Ryan.
Oh, is it like one after the other, like rapid fire?
It depends. It's up to you guys. Okay.
All
so
right,
Ryan, favorite holiday tradition in your family?
This is why you said it depends whether it's going to be rapid. favorite holiday tradition.
Yeah.
honestly, like when we were younger, it hasn't happened for the last couple of years, but we always used to go tobogganing out at the farm. It's kind of in a valley, and we'd take, you know, the sleds kind of up the hill, and then we'd toboggan down, kind of thing. One of my favorite things from Christmas and my childhood, anyway.
Yeah, and aunts and uncles join in too, and everything. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay, so what about you, Brad?
I think it's so Grandpa has like a ice cream making machine,
like a soft serve.
Yeah, oh, soft nice. Serve. Like yeah, and so we haven't been out there in a couple of years now, but that was a big childhood memory for me for Christmas. Was he would always make every, like, we have like 25 cousins on Dad's side too.
Oh wow.
big full house out at the farm there, and he'd make everyone an ice cream, and
or two
sometimes nice. A lot more than that. But yeah,
Fleischer's, what's your favorite
ice cream, so
what's your favorite?
That's kind of my memory.
What's your favorite ice cream?
Good question. I love the swirl. I haven't had it in a long time. You know, like the chocolate vanilla mix swirl thing.
And Napoleon? Huh? Is it Napoleon?
Well, no. Like there was. This is going back a bit, but I think McDonald's at one point had like a really good chocolate vanilla swirl, and there was no strawberry in it.
Oh, okay.
But I missed that ice cream. I don't know where it went.
I don't think that's happened since like early 2000s.
He's going, damn it, bring it back.
Actually, A&W. I think it was A&W.
Yeah, that's right. It is A&W. It is A&W. It's not McDonald's. Okay, so Ryan, now let's talk about favorite thing to do to unplug from the world. To get away from music, to get away from everything. What's your favorite thing?
Well, during winter, actually, I will say I love to go snowboarding.
Okay.
We live really close to the mountains here, right? So it's not too much of a hassle to get out there and take a day and actually just, you know, tear up a hill kind of thing. But yeah, that's definitely one for me. There's something calming about being out in the mountains in deep snow, and, you know, it's so relaxing.
I see. I'm out there with the camera. See, like, I'm a wildlife photographer. That's my calm.
Oh, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I'll do all the concert stuff, obviously, for the artists and that. And that's where I usually do the live interviews. But I just love something, you know, just it's so calming for me. I can do it all day long and late into the night. Same thing with fishing, the two of them.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Amazing choices.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so Brad, what about you?
Mine is honestly either writing, if I have some kind of, like, I know that it's an escape for me. It really is. So that is how I shut off the world to some extent. If I run out of mental stamina to write, sometimes I honestly, my escape is just singing my favorite songs at the top of my lungs. I just crank up music super loud and sing. I know. And that's always been a thing in my life, to be honest, like always.
I understand that. Same here.
Yeah, I'd come home from school and that'd be what I'd do. And sometimes, like, on my worst days at school, I would come home and sing for the longest. It'd be like 4 or 5 hours and I'd just sing songs. And my dad always said that when I'd come down the stairs after doing that, he just said that, like, you'd go up the stairs, not our Brad, and then you'd come down the stairs, our Brad again.
That's awesome. Okay, so favorite holiday song, Ryan?
Song. Actually, this might be a little bit left field, but there's a song called Christmas Lights by Coldplay.
Man.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know if you heard it, but it's a really...
I have. It's been like a while since I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not one of those like traditional kind of country Christmas songs, but
okay.
Yeah, definitely a huge, huge one for me.
Nice. Okay, what about you, Brad?
I would have said the same thing, but I'm going to keep it kind of unique here. I think that Michael Bublé's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas.
Oh, okay.
That's my first Christmas song I listen to every year, and I don't know. There's just something about the way it starts, and like it kind of has a couple chimes and everything, and then it goes right down, and then he sings it in his warm, sweet voice, and it's just his a cappella, and it's like, yes, I'm convinced it is.
There you go. There you go. Okay, yeah. So let's talk about vices.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys have had time to prepare for this now. What's your biggest vice, Ryan?
Oh, man. Well, I will say, like, for me personally, well, I guess I think I would say Brad's in the same boat, but I won't speak for him. So we still have day jobs, right? So it's a little bit a tough spot, I guess, when you're trying to when you want to spend all your time doing what you feel like you're kind of put on this place to do, kind of thing, right? But there's so much time that goes towards like other commitments, right? Like just part of being an adult, right? Like that's you got to pay the bills and.
Yeah.
But yeah, I will say sometimes there's a bit of a, like an internal struggle with like, you know, trying to strike that balance correctly.
Okay.
And you know, sometimes you get a day from the day job where you're just, where it takes a lot out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if it's, if you're going back home and you have to maybe try to be creative, it can be a little bit tough to bring out that creativity after, after a long day at the day job.
I can understand that.
Super seriously.
Yeah, I can understand that. I can understand that because I balance quite a few of them too, right? You know, between the magazine and here, and then I'm a radio host as well, and then I also have a sub job too. So, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot to balance. I get it. I get it. There's just days you're just so exhausted mentally. It's hard to tap into that. And everything about what you guys do is mental. Right. Uh-huh. When you're having to come up with these concepts and being creative, and that artistry is just difficult. Some find it easier, you know, to do. And maybe Brad might be a little bit easier when that's how you like to unplug is to write and to sing. So maybe it might come a little bit easier that way. I know for me writing, I've got to be in the right mindset.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I can get it. It's tough. What about you, Brad?
First of all, let me get the definition on vices here, because Ryan took this very left field compared to what I thought you were going for.
Yeah, maybe I should have clarified.
Personal vice.
Like, I eat more chocolate than I should, or
no? Well, just you know, people struggle with different things. And things that they've struggled with in their upbringing, or, you know, it could be just something that they faced. It could have been bullying in school to, you know, being afraid to go on stage to, you know, just a fear of crowd. Like there's just so many things, right, it's that it can be.
Some substance, Brad. All right. Ryan took this in the right direction. Okay. Surprise. No. I think occasionally I've got a little bit of like, I'm pretty hard on myself, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
A thing with me, I always see weakness as having it's always reciprocating a strength, and I always see a strength reciprocating a weakness. Like almost always, I think life is full of balance. So you know, although it's served me very well in some ways, it can be very hard trying to live up to the standard that I set for myself some days.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
Yep.
So that's kind of mine. And, you know, and that brings upon all sorts of issues here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But,
well, I guess the one way you can look at it too. And if any of, you know, we got any young writers out there, you know, that might be looking up to you guys and saying, you know, how did you get through that? I think a lot of the time too, you know, if we can remember, anytime that we do have a challenge that we're facing in life, you know, whether or not it's at our job or whether it's personally or any, you know, in a family, those times being vulnerable is the greatest gift we can have. And that allows us to grow. Without being vulnerable, we can't grow.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You gotta process all emotions. And, you know, as artists, that's something you learn pretty quick. You gotta process them somehow.
That's right.
Yeah. You can't let them go unchecked.
That's right. And if you stay on top of that and you're honest with yourself and you're okay to talk about it, I think that's when it doesn't get to you the same way. You know, you can have somebody that you can lean on that way and just spit it out. Sometimes we just need a year. We don't need anything else. Once we get our answers as we talk it out for a lot of people.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's go on to the next one. Very good. I'm really happy about that. Very good. Well done. If there is one thing that you would want to have fans take away from your music, what would that be, Ryan?
I think we touched on earlier, but we're always trying to, you know, to go about our music with a little bit of a, like a positive tone, right? Like, so we definitely want to inspire with our music. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if that's something someone takes away from our music, that's success to me.
Nice. What is the last album that you've listened to from front to back, Brad?
Probably Thomas Rhett's Centerpoint Road.
Mm, okay.
That's a huge one for me, that record.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a real good one. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so top song on your playlist, Brad?
Oh, man. Neverland, I think, by Andrew Hyatt.
Okay, very cool. Okay, Ryan?
For me right now, I think it's White House Road by Tyler Childers.
Nice. Okay. Now, I'm going to have Brad answer this for Ryan. Okay? He's going, what are you doing? Okay, so Brad, answer. What is Ryan's most useless talent?
Being able to... I think there's actually a word for this, but you know when you say like two words and you mix the first... letter of this word, like the second word, and you like mix it.
And you get it backwards.
like syllables, I guess.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Ryan will be able to make a funny combination of that randomly, and it's funny. It's just funny to me.
Nice. Okay. All right. So Ryan, what is Brad's most useless talent?
Man,
Gotta be something he's done as you've grown up that.
Honestly, and I'm not trying to be cheesy here, but Brad has some strange talents, but I don't even consider them useless. he picks things up, and like, I don't know, a lot of times he just seems to be kind of good at
everything.
A lot of things.
No.
Yeah, shucks. I'll give you one.
Okay.
I'll give you one. I've noticed with Meg lately. If you sing a melody or I hear a song, I'll be able to very quickly tie it to another melody.
Oh, really?
And I guess it's not 100% useless in a writing room, but like it'll be the weirdest thing. Like I'll hear something and it's like, oh, The Frame. It's this song from back when I was in high school in grade 10. I listened to that all the time. And it's like, why did that even pop in my head? Anyway.
That's awesome. That's cool. Fun. That's very cool. All right. Very cool. Okay. So favorite thing that you're looking forward to this holiday, Ryan?
So the last few years, obviously things have been a little different dynamic, I think, for most people's Christmases, but this year we just finalized a plan for a big, mom keeps calling it a Fleischer Hootenanny.
Hootenanny?
Yeah, I had to. So, what a great word. Yeah. So, anyway, it's the first one of those that we've done in the last few years. So
I love that. Hootenanny. Yeah, I got to remember that. Hootenanny. I love that.
Her word, not mine. Oh, yes.
Okay. So, favorite childhood memory for you, Brad?
Oh, just in general.
Yep.
Oh, man. Favorite childhood memory. We're gonna have to pause the interview for this one. One that comes to mind—it's a weird, I don't know. One that I at least is the most resonating with me. It's not really even a great moment, but my our dad, he's always been a really hardworking guy, and when we were young, I remember there was just one moment that really left an impression on me. That he came through the door one night in particular. This happened all the time, all the time, but one night in particular stands out, where he walked through the door at 10 o'clock after working since before dawn, kind of thing, because mm-hmm. He did that a lot. And it struck me different that one time, and it's kind of just stuck with me ever since. I don't know. It's just like this childhood memory, and it might sound as though, like, oh, Dad working really hard, but there was something about the fact that he was so dedicated to just giving us a great life, mm-hmm. I guess.
Mm-hmm. The respect.
Yeah, and yeah. Just like having a dad that really showed his love indirectly, but also directly. He's always been very, anyway.
Nice.
I don't know why that I went there necessarily.
No, but that's good, though. That's really good.
It's a childhood memory of mine that very much impacted me, I guess.
That's really good. That's really good. It just shows your character right there. That's awesome.
Yeah, perhaps.
Very good. Very good. Well, it has been an absolute pleasure, and thank you for letting me dig a little bit deeper into your lives and be able to share that with the fans, because they get to know you a little bit better, and I'm always going to do that to you whenever you're on air. So you will never know what's coming.
So. It's awesome. It's been an absolute blast with you, Kim. Yeah. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
I'm really glad. I'm never usually easy on anybody, but I was easier on you guys tonight because you haven't been on with me before. So I'll lay it down a little bit harder on you next time. How's that?
All right,
they're going, oh no, don't do that. Okay, so let's remind everybody, you've got a show coming up. We've got the King Eddie for One More Light fundraiser on January 28th. We want everybody also to make sure that they're checking that in, what, a couple days for that link to be up there, and to check your socials as well to make sure that they can check that out and see when the tickets are going to be available for that. Also, February at the Ranchman's in Calgary. That's another one that you're going to be doing, right?
Yeah, 17th and 18th, and we're really excited for that one as well.
Oh, nice. Okay. And then you got your trip to Nashville, so we're going to hear all about that when you come back on the show. And then we've got this new single that's going to be coming out right after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'll be great. Yeah, make sure when you follow us on socials, that's Flasher Music. So it's FLASHER, based on our last name.
Nice. Really looking forward to it. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful family holiday. And what's the name of that party again? I forgot it.
The Flasher Hootenanny.
The Flasher Hootenanny. You give your mom a big hug for us all, and your mom and dad. And wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful holiday season, and wishing you all an incredible 2023, which we are going to be all a part of and following you every step of the way. Lots of love, laughter, and memories to last a lifetime.
Thank you so much, Kim. You as well. Really appreciate it.
No problem. You take care.
Yes, you as well. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye, Kim.
A great big thank you to my very special guests, Brad and Ryan from country duo Flasher, for coming on the show. I've got some great shows lined up for you. I'm going to be doing some special shows from some of the best Canadian classic rock bands in January and early February that you don't want to miss. I'm going to be chatting in depth with the rock bands Lighthouse and the Stampeders, playing some of their greatest hits. I'm really looking forward to doing these ones. I'm also going to be interviewing Dan Washburn, Dan Davidson, the Hunter Brothers, Kudu, Annika, Runaway Angel, Aaron Allen, Weapons, Smoke and Ashes, The Prairie States, Anthony Tulo, and so many more. Don't forget you can catch all my shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You can also check out all the articles, new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning in to Music's Journey, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.